Blog Talk Radio.
Off. Of course, you know, you got to keep it in Real Hot and Fresh show every Monday night at 9 p.m. or 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Be sure to tell all your friends and all your peeps about us every Monday night on this SSBN station. But also, too, a little bit in the TV wave, be sure to check out, if you are a longtime Spice Girls fan, then be sure to check out Mel's B. It's a Scary World that is airing every Monday night at 9 p.m. on the Style Network. Be sure to check your local listings for the exact channel. And also, if you love drama and you love suspense and you love a lot of crazy catfights and arguments, then definitely be sure to check out The Real Housewives of Atlanta. That is also airing every Monday night at 9 p.m. on the Bravo Network. And once again, check your local listings for the Zach channel. So here we are, guys. Your boy Z-Fly here. Got my girl Miss Jewel. What's up, Miss Jewel?
Hi, Z-Fly. How you doing?
I'm doing very good. Great to hear you. How was your weekend?
My weekend
we had a great weekend, didn't we?
We sure did. We had a fantastic weekend, didn't we?
We were. Yes, just for everybody to know, Z-Fly and Miss Jules, we actually went out to, it was the Fall Fashion Front Awards presented by the Raw House magazine. We was invited. We did a lot of mixing and mingling, met a lot of good people. Miss Jules went crazy because she met Stevie Boy.
Oh, my God, yeah. I was so psyched. I'm such a fan.
I know. So we had a great time. Also, We do have some pictures posted on our Facebook and our MySpace page. So if you do want to see some of the fun that we had over the weekend, then definitely check that out. But, you know, we are going to go ahead and get into the topic. We have a lot of good things going on tonight. And one thing is, well, the topic is really real, okay? Real, real topic. Tonight we're talking about bullying, you know, bullying. A lot of people, a lot of kids, actually, you know, they bully each other. And basically, you know, you may not think of it, but bullying is almost like a lethal weapon in today's society. Because, you know, it's having kids kind of kill each other or maybe kill themselves. You know, a lot of people don't think that bullying is really that serious. You know, you just talk about somebody, you know, you got your little clique, you know, y'all hating on one individual or many individuals, and y'all think it's just, you know, it's just that simple. But it's not that simple, because a lot of times death is, you know, is the outcome of these situations. Mm-hmm. And that's basically what we're going to be talking about tonight. So, yeah, we definitely want you to call in 646-200-3136. If you or you know someone who has been the victim of being bullied, then please share. You know, share those comments with us. You know, if you don't want to, if you don't want anyone to know your number, you can definitely block it, and you do that by pushing *67, and then our number, which is once again 646-200-3136. And that way we will not know who's calling, and you can give your comments. And also our Facebook page is open, and SSBN chat is open. So, Ms. Jules, I know that you had heard a lot about, you know, kids being bullied around different states. What's going on? I mean, it's awful. What's going on?
Well, on October 3rd, there was a memorial held in Washington Square Park for 5 young teens, and I'm talking about young. I'm talking about children from the ages of about 11 to 15 and ranging in between. And all of these children committed suicide in different states, different parts of the United States, all for one reason, because they were all bullied. And we all know at one point or another we've all been bullied or dealt with something like that, and some of us still bear the scars well into the adult stages of our lives and on. And, you know, the first recognized bully side was that of Stephen Shepherd in Strawberry Fields in Newburgh, Lancashire in 1967. So it's not like this is something new. This is something that has been going on for years. I mean, there's the story of 12-year-old Debbie Shaw, who agrees to challenge other girls to end her bullying and her victimization by fighting her school bully, something that, you know, normally people really glorify that, and they tell their kids, yeah, stand up to somebody. This little girl died due to her injuries. 13-year-old Roger Hilliard found dead near his home after a lifetime of bullying. Sisters Samantha and Michaela Kendall also were so taunted by their bullying about their overweight, they went ahead and they went on a hunger strike, and both of them died. Okay.
Oh, wow.
A 15-year-old choir boy named Darren Steele found hanged in his bedroom after a life of bullying and victimization in schools. You know, I mean, like, this can't be any more real. This is a constant thing.
Exactly. Looks like we have a caller. Let's see. We have a caller. You're keeping it real hot and fresh. Can you hear us?
Yep. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can.
Okay. Good.
Are you
Hi.
Calling? Hey, how are you doing? Do you want to state your name?
Yeah, my name is Joe.
Okay, hey, how are you doing, Joe? Do you have a comment on the topic for tonight?
Yeah, I presume you're going to get into Phoebe and other kids who've committed suicide over cyberbullying, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, I'm also going to presume that you two are going to take the side that because it was horrible that the kids who sent the cyber text, that something should be done to them, right?
Yes.
Okay.
It is a crime. A life was at stake.
Okay, here's something that you're not going to hear often. So what?
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is because the girl, if she committed suicide, yeah, it's a tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
But for her to have committed suicide over messages,
mm-hmm.
that meant that she was undergoing some sort of emotional imbalance for a long time. And cyber texting should not have any type of governmental interference, governmental laws, or people hopping on the bandwagon saying, well, you know, if somebody is offended by cybertext, then something should happen to those people who send the cybertext, because the worst situations are going to arise. Do you believe that the 11 and 12-year-olds should be jailed for sending offensive cybertext?
No. What I do believe is that something should be done, because if an 11-year-old and a 12-year-old think that it's perfectly all right to taunt someone to death, there's something wrong with an 11-year-old and a 12-year-old where they think that this is all right behavior, that they can taunt somebody to death, to bother someone. To that extent, I think, is extreme. And I think it shouldn't only be the children. It should also be the parents should be brought into this as well, because this is their child. You know, this is a child who is under the age of 18, and they're responsible for their behavior. And due to their behavior, they caused a death. And I think that they should be penalized for that. And whether it's a cyber message, whether they went and they beat this child, I don't think that that should be, that it should go over anybody's head. I think that a lot of the times, the teachers, the principals let this go just because they think that it shouldn't be as damaging. But the truth of the matter is, bullies create adults that are traumatized. There are adults walking around out there that have been bullied so much so that they cannot handle, you know what I mean, certain things. They've been broken, you know what I mean? And that has to be, I think there should be some kind of punishment. They should go to juvie hall, because it's not right to harass someone in that manner. Stalking is not right in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah,
when you're 12, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, you learn that behavior somewhere, and that's not normal behavior. So it would be all right to create.
Unfortunately, it is normal behavior. And
no, it's not, because I don't go around. And when I was 12 years old, I sure didn't go around following people. That's not normal. That's not normal.
Sure.
That's
yeah,
stalking
it is,
behavior.
50% of kids get bullied. So that is normal.
50% of kids get bullied, but 50% of kids don't get bullied to the point that they die, that they
think
that coming,
they
that,
don't.
You know.
They
you know, these kids died. This is,
look, I understand your compassion for the kid. I feel sorry for the kid, too, to the degree.
It's not just the kid. It's not just the kid. This is a family. This kid has parents. This kid has
everybody's
other people
got
around
parents.
Them.
And
of
everybody
course, everybody,
has brothers.
Everybody's got parents. Everybody also has the right to live.
Yeah,
you know?
And you know what? Did the kid have the choice of opening up the mobile phone and taking a look at the message?
If the kid did not recognize the phone number, really, is it the kid's fault?
No, but if they got the mobile text and they know it's from somebody who's been taunting them.
No, sometimes people get your mobile number and you don't know.
Yeah, there's
going to
be
are.
A lot of sometimes. The only thing is that if this happens, the media is going way out of bounds with this, because
you
can
you
have like
so?
10 of these suicides a year. And it's
no,
still be...
actually, if you look online, the list is a lot longer, and you can
how much
you
longer?
Can actually a lot longer. Go online, Google this. There are thousands
I've read
of
about
kids.
These cases. I haven't
no, no,
heard
no.
About
this is not
the,
this is not just about Phoebe Price. This is about hundreds of children that, from 1967 till now, have died due to the mistreatment of others. And I just don't think that's right. Neither will I stand for it.
Yeah,
I think something should be done.
Yeah, let me see. What was it? 1967 to 2010.
The very first bully side. A bully side is when a child gets bullied so much they commit suicide. There's a term for this. Okay, the very first case was discovered in 1967, and it has not stopped.
You know what?
There's
going to be a lot of people are going to commit suicide over this their state.
Yeah,
life.
But nobody said that it was right, and I sure won't say that it was right on
nobody's
my radio
saying
show.
That it's right. The only thing is that there're going to be a lot of people like yourself who want the government to step in.
Of
and when
course.
The government no,
well,
it's not
course,
a reason.
The government, somebody needs to step in.
Some,
you know,
somebody
if these
needs
kids
to step
are
in.
Killing
you
themselves,
can't just let these people
yeah,
you know,
because
mistreat
what's going
your kids.
On over it. And
that's
here's another
right.
thing. If the kids get bullied, there's another thing in school which also facilitates this. It's that stupid rule they have where, okay, both of you have to go into detention. No. The person who starts the fight should also have his ass kicked by the person that they're trying to bully. But if you do it in school, they're going to penalize both of you. If they let it go and they just say, whoever starts it, if you get your butt kicked, good. That's gonna alleviate a lot of bullying.
Yes, but unfortunately, this is exactly what happened with the first girl that I mentioned. Her name was Debbie Shaw. She was 12 years old. She agreed to challenge these girls that had been bullying her. And as a result of that, those girls that were bullying her beat her to death. That's not right.
No, I
don't think that anybody should be making light of that. That's not right. It's evil. You know what I mean? And these are children. This girl is 12 years old. No one should be going through that kind of hassle. You know what I mean? Everybody gets bullied. But there's a difference between bullying and there's a difference between abuse. You know what I mean? These children...
That's what bullying is supposed to be. That's the way it's going to escalate. It's going to escalate. Actually,
yes, but it has
graded.
To stop somewhere. If the government regulates it, then it would have to stop.
No,
so that's why I think that the government should step in.
Because
there should
be laws. A lot of people who go for this don't have any clue about how the government takes something and makes it worse. This is a situation where people should take care of their own matters in their own way without having the government come in. Put down laws which are like 1984 and make things worse, not only for the families which are victimized, but then make victims out of everybody else. I suggest that, you know, you take a look at American history, at the way the law has been bastardized over certain good laws.
I'm sorry, sir. Sometimes you have to rectify history. And just because we've been doing something the same way for the last couple of hundred years, that doesn't mean we have to continue doing the same mistakes. We can learn from this, and we can
fix it.
We can try to fix this. We don't have to... I think that when sometimes we take things into our own hands, it's easier to get carried away. Like, for instance, a couple of weeks ago, this young lady had been being... She'd been being bullied, and then her mother decided... Listen, I'm going to go ahead and set up a fight between the bully and my daughter, and I'm going to go watch it, and guess what happened? Guess what happened? This is what happens when people take things into their own hands. She is now arrested, and she has now been charged with child abuse. So you can't say that this is how we should handle it.
No, that is the way you should handle it. But you know what happened? The government stepped in and came and arrested this woman. Now, the girl and the other girl... They had a normal fight, lasted about 30 seconds, and the mother pulled the other girl off her daughter before anybody got seriously hurt.
Mm-hmm. But still, this is what happens when people take things into their own hands. It doesn't
mean
that it's right. It doesn't mean that it's wrong. It just can escalate.
You want the law.
Because there should be due precedence. There shouldn't be children dying just because somebody wants to pick on somebody. It's just wrong.
You want the law to step in. The law
has
a long, long history.
That's right. When it's to an extreme... When it's to an extreme, I think that the law should step in, and I think that it should set due precedent.
Take a look at legal history.
I've looked at legal history. Very well versed. But what I'm saying, if we're going to set due precedence, it should be due precedence. So like that, the number of children that kill themselves every year due to bullying goes
down.
How
many people
now,
kill themselves
say,
due to bullying?
Now, we can't save everybody. You're telling
people.
Me to look things up. A lot of people.
I don't want to hear
hundreds.
A lot. I don't want to hear numbers. Is it 20,
well,
30,
go,
40, 500, 1,000?
You can do your research, and you can look it up.
No, I'm talking about it. You must
at the moment, we're definitely going to continue this topic, but we do have to take a break. Joe, we do want to thank you for calling in. We have to take a break right now, and we're going to switch gears a little bit, but whenever we do come back later on in the show, we are going to continue with about this topic about bullying and kids, you know, kids who are being bullied and how death is occurring to a lot of these situations. But, Joe, we do want to thank you for calling in. Please continue to listen in. We're going to get back to this topic later on in the show, okay?
Okay.
Thank you. And this is we're going to go ahead and go ahead and switch gears with Left Eye. Let's just do it. And we have a very special guest. Surprise coming up very soon. Thank you. Keep it real hot and fresh right here.
Yeah. Come on. We're going to do this one right here. I like this. Let's just do it. See, when I want to do something, I just do what I feel, you know what I'm saying? I just do it straight from the heart. So we can do it and do it. Let's go! Nobody never understood me better. A true friend forever. That's why I'm writing you this love letter. Despite my ways through every phase, you brought me better days with such a craze. From the beginning, when these hills of black linen, when I was sagging denim and let you get never answer, but we managed to stay connected. When you accept and see me naked, I couldn't let it 5 years and you still respect it. Now check it, give me a second to unwind. You find all the pain and misery, it nearly blew my mind. Can't no fame and chivalry compare to losing time. I'll explain my history aboard the cruise at night. Don't be late, cause I would hate to cross the seven seas in the windy breeze without your fantasy. Let's do it.
That's what y'all. All right, y'all. So over the weekend, like me and Miss Jules was telling you, thank you for keeping it real hot fresh. Thank you. Over the weekend, like me and Miss Jules was telling you, we had the opportunity to go to the Fashion Front Awards presented by House, by the Raw House magazine, and we met so many people. And one of the people that we met was one of the models from the fashion show. So we're rubbing noses, rubbing elbows with people, and we was very lucky to get one of the models, like I said, from the fashion show. Her name is Antoinette, and she is here with us tonight. So just to give you a little bit about Antoinette, she is only 24 years old, and so far in her young life, she has been a writer, a model, an entrepreneur, currently living in New York. She studied mass communications with a concentration in general broadcast and earned a bachelor's at Norfolk State University in Virginia, VA. There she began penning her first novel, which is called The Thomas Brief. It's basically about a story about a successful lawyer who has caught in a chess game of joy and turmoil with four women. Sounds interesting. She is also self-publishing it, and it is set to release by the end of the year. While in college, she also began writing for African American Golfers Digest and has had over 10 articles published in its pages, including a cover story. This opportunity has afforded her to travel to various golf destinations and interview and meet many black golfers. Antoinette is currently the editor-in-chief of her online magazine, which she would definitely tell us more about. The magazine is dedicated to young entrepreneurs and their talented businesses, and she is responsible for all the video edits, Q&As, and articles. So y'all know Miss Antoinette, she's doing it big. She's with us now, keeping it real hot and fresh. We welcome Antoinette to the show. How are you doing, Antoinette?
Hi, I'm good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
No, thank you for keeping it real hot and fresh with us tonight. So, you know, just by reading that bio, you are a busy woman, only at the age of 24. Antoinette, how did all this get started?
Well, my writing, as you can see, yes, I went to Norfolk State University, so I had an interest in mass communications all my life, writing, TV, producing, all of that stuff interests me, so that's what I went to school for. Once I got my degree and graduated and came back to New York, you know, I realized that I wanted to venture out on my own. I didn't necessarily get the job that I wanted in the exact field, so with all the skills that I had attained, I decided to, like, put it out into my blog, networking, writing for the golf magazine, and just doing it like that.
That's
wow,
fantastic.
Very
wow.
It's very interesting. So I do see that you do have your own online magazine, and what exactly is that called?
It's called FBENow.com, and basically the F stands for future, B stands for business, and the E is entrepreneurs. And the now just represents, you know, the young entrepreneurs of today. That's what my blog represents. That's what I write about. That's why I interview. That's what interests me. And I'm just excited about what young people are doing, what they're inventing, what they're creating. I'm so interested in that. I love to do interviews. I love to talk to young people and see how they're making new waves and just paving their own lanes to be successful.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Now, how did you get into modeling and writing at the same time? Normally, people just go after either or. That's
either
fantastic.
Or, right.
Yeah.
So I have this background, you know, writing. It just comes natural to me. I do it. It was a hobby that kind of turned into something that I wanted to come out with, as you said, the Thomas Brief. But modeling kind of fell into place, too. I'm 5'9", so when I walk around, people ask me, are you a model? Do you model? I've been hearing that all my life. So I just networked a lot, got in touch with the right people, and, you know, did a lot of research about it and just figured out, like, this is something I can do as well, and just tied into everything that I'm doing with you know, entrepreneurship, and I go to runway shows and I interview people, I talk to people, I meet all different people through modeling and writing. So it kind of coincides with my lifestyle.
That's really nice. Now, I've got another question for you, because I know that a lot of our listeners are really interested in becoming models and really getting into the business. And what's the hardest part, do you think, about modeling?
I think the hardest part can be if you don't really know your research and you don't know what type of model you're trying to be. There's so many different types of models. You know, we get the potential that it's just runway, but there's print, there's commercial, editorial, there's showroom modeling. There's so many different types of models, plus size modeling. So, you know, you kind of have to know your niche. You got to know what works for you, where you can be a more successful model. Like, if you're not 5'11 and taller, maybe runway is not for you, but maybe you have nice feet, so you could be a foot model, or maybe you're a plus size girl, so you can do plus size modeling. You could be in just the same covers as the runway models and getting the same amount of money, if not more money. So I think the hardest part is just educating ourselves on, you know, like, what do you really want to do? Like, what really is your niche?
Okay.
So I think that's the hardest part, because people just have misconceptions about it, and then they kind of get lost along the way.
Okay.
Oh,
what do you think is more difficult for you, the writing or the modeling, or balancing both?
Maybe a little bit of balancing both, because, you know, sometimes I'm doing other things where I can't make a casting per se, or maybe I don't have enough time to dedicate to writing. You know, as a writer, sometimes you need to have that quiet time where you're just focused on what you're writing, and if you're out doing modeling, it's kind of, it kind of weighs on each other, but I find a middle ground for it. It just goes with my life, I guess. It's just easy for me. So it doesn't, maybe just the hours. Maybe if I'm modeling for a long time or over the weekend, I might be a little bit tired and not write as much as I should if I weren't modeling, if you get what I'm saying.
Okay, I understand. That's a lot. That's a lot. You put a lot on your plate. I mean, like, do you only do runway or?
Well, right now I'm trying to get into commercial modeling. The runway gives me the experience, you know, it gives me the feedback. I get the practice out of it, per se. Commercial modeling is what I really want to do. I kind of want to tie in my media
background. Now, what is
background.
That, per se? Because I wasn't even aware that there was a difference between the runway. I thought if you had the face, you would do anything. So what's the difference between the runway models and the commercial models? What do you guys do?
Well, I mean, the runway models, there's, for every set of modeling, it's a certain, you know, type of thing that the clients want, per se. Like, if the client is Macy's, they want a particular girl, they want a particular face. Maybe they want her to be more relatable to the general public. So they're going to find somebody who, yes, is attractive, but isn't 6'1 and a slim person. That's not everybody. That's not, like, the general public. That's, you know, unique people that you see, you know, every once in a while or something like that. So there is kind of a difference in it because, you know, the commercial modeling is, you know, actors that you see in a commercial, they are models.
Okay.
People that you see on maybe a Dwayne Reed poster, that's a model. She was casted, she went to a casting, she had a certain look, and they took a picture of her. She wasn't necessarily on the runway.
Okay.
Like modeling for Versace. She's just a Dwayne Reed commercial model. Or Avon, those are models as well, not necessarily runway models.
Okay.
You know, and then also, too, I see, you know, as you name names, I see that you have modeled for the Luxury Women's Wear and the Hema collection, you know, on various occasions. So what are some more, you know, some of the other names out there that you wouldn't mind being signed to or modeling for?
Yeah.
Oh, I would work for anyone. I mean, I love the experience.
But what's your most coveted? What's your most coveted, though?
Anyone.
Which one is it that you want the most?
I would want to be on maybe a Macy's billboard.
Okay.
That would be awesome.
I love the Hema collection. They're great designers, and they've given me a lot of experience just, like, in the background as far as the fashion industry and just being a model for them. Like, they're amazing. I recently was on the Wendy Williams show modeling for Lloyd Boston.
Yes.
How was that?
Yes.
Wendy
that
Williams.
That was
your Wendy Williams experience.
That was exciting. Wendy Williams, I love her. I've always loved her since I heard her on the radio, WBLS. And she's exactly the same way she is. She's just real. I love her.
I really love her.
Yeah.
How was that experience for you walking there?
Oh, it was amazing. I mean, just being in the back, not doing necessarily a runway show for maybe an event, but on TV, like, that's different. You're walking out. You have to pay attention to what the commentators are saying, what Wendy's saying, what Lloyd was saying. You know, it was just an amazing experience. The spotlight was on me, so it was just a great experience. I loved it.
You know, Antoinette, one thing that I really love about you is that, you know, you are a young entrepreneur, you know, you're 24, you know, you have worked on your first novel, you know, you have your magazine going, you're modeling, you're doing your American, you know, you work for the, African-American Golfers Digest, you're doing so much. So, you know, there are so many young people, you know, your age, you know, a little bit older than you, younger than you, that are trying to be where you are now. I mean, you're only 24, so what advice, what encouragement will you have for those people, you know, those young people that are trying to do it? You know, maybe they don't have that, you know, that family support, you know, some type of support behind them. You know, they don't know where to go, how to do it, how to get started. What advice would you have for these young, you know, people?
I would tell young people to just believe in yourself. As long as you believe in yourself, you have the confidence, it's going to come through. It's going to come through whatever you want to do. And you have to have focus, research. You have to have patience, too. You can't just, you know, think things are going to happen overnight. And, you know, people tell us this all the time, but we all think, oh, whatever. You know, we're listening, but we're not really hearing what they're saying. So when we go through it, it's like, oh, my God, why is something up, you know, popping for me, or why I can't do this, or why I can't do that. And you have to give it time. You have to, you know, work at it, and your day will come. Like, it will come. I can attest to that. It will come. You just have to keep trying, keep doing it. I mean, I'm no different from any other person that has a dream or wants to do something. You just got to get up in the morning, walk out your door, and do what you want to do. Like, you can't just think about it. You actually have to act on it, and you have to work at it, and you will be successful. I really think that.
Those are words of wisdom right there. Those are words of wisdom. Because there's so many people just looking for what they want to do next. Just thinking about it. I mean, like, that's wonderful. You should put that on a T-shirt.
Let's start it.
I guess another good question will be before we wrap it up is, you know, like, a lot of times, you know, you go into, like, our world. For people that's trying to be a model or maybe an actor, you know, they go into these different agencies, you know, and then maybe, you know, the agency tells them, you know, that they have the look. But then, you know, you have some agencies that say, you know, well, this is the price, you know, because this price is for, you know, you know your photos and this and that. But then, however, on the other hand, you have some agencies that say, you know, we don't make anything until you make something. So with agencies, you know, I mean, the ones that you do have to pay up front, you know, are they legit or maybe not? Are the ones that you don't have to, you know, pay, are they more legit? You know, because sometimes a lot of people, they get kind of confused on who to actually trust.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I've always been told that the ones that ask you for money aren't the ones to go with. I mean, if you have a true agent and you're with a true agency, they only get paid when you get paid. And they tell you that up front. They tell you how much percentage they get from it. And you know what I'm saying? When you work, they work. Mm-hmm. If you're just putting out money to agencies who say they might, you know, book you on jobs and stuff like that, you're dishing out a bunch of money that you don't, it's not guaranteed. So until you can actually sit down with someone, in my opinion, that's the best way to go with the person that will say, you know what, you make such and such on a project, I'm taking 10% and that's it. When you work, I work, and that's how it goes. When you get paid, I get paid, not pay me first and then we'll think about it later. Like,
exactly.
I don't think that's good.
That's fantastic, because there's a lot of people out there that don't know.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Get,
and
you
I
know,
didn't
get
know
money
that
taken.
Either. I didn't know that either. And it's like, you know, through trial and error and, you know, just talking to certain people and looking certain things up. I think today also young people should utilize the internet as much as possible. Like, that's just what's going on right now. So I feel like it's very imperative to just use the internet, whether you're networking, you know, use it in a wise way, but use it to better yourself. You can have a product and push it through the internet. Like, the internet is just so powerful that I think people need to utilize that. Do your research. It's so easy to Google something nowadays and find out what's going on. Don't just walk around blindly.
It sure is. It sure is. Exactly. It's easier. Just Google research.
That is some great words. Antoinette, we definitely want to thank you for stopping by and doing this interview with us. But, you know, but before you go, we definitely want you to shout out to the listeners and to your fans. You know, what is your upcoming events? You know, where can people find you? What are those websites? What are those locations? Let us know. What's up?
Everyone can email me at sbenow@yahoo.com, and you can look up FBENow.com. I'm on Twitter, @AM_FBENow. I'm doing all kinds of projects. The book is the most important thing right now. That's coming out, like I said, at the end of the year. So stay tuned for that. I will be promoting that like crazy. So when it comes out, you'll know. But just hit me up on all those, the email, Twitter, wherever you can find me, I'm there.
All right, well, everybody, that has been Antoinette, model / writer / entrepreneur / she's doing her thing.
Well, thank you for having me.
No, thank you for being with us, and we definitely wish you much, much success in your future. You are doing it big, kid. All right, thank you for being with us.
Okay, have a good night, you guys.
You too.
Thank you so much, Antoinette. Good night.
Everybody, we're definitely going to get back into the show. Keep it real and fresh. So what we're going to do now, we're going to kind of switch gears again. We're going to leave you with James Flames, It's You. And right after James Flames, it's time to see what's cooking on that plate of Miss Jules. But everybody, this is James Flames, all right?
My whole life I've been looking for the right one, and I could swear that I never was gonna find one. And then you came around and you put it down, and that's when I knew that girl is bam bam. Cause baby, it's you. Yeah, baby, it's you. Knows that it's me, man. So amazing how she look off in that G-string. Now why would I even quit? Lose a good thing and leave you for some other chick? Hell no, you know I'm down for that long haul. We in the islands with our Kingston and Sean Paul. She off that tall wall, got her sitting sideways just like she down to fall. Know what I'm saying, y'all? I know she feeling that, and yeah, she like my swag. Oh yeah, I'm feeling that, and digging on her swag. She don't even need me, I'm needing only her. She know she like that, I say I'm working her. I just say get the fur, cause they ain't on no level. You and my trusted big girl, so welcome to my shadow. We about to blast off, NASA says it is a go. So lay back, hit the Marley and enjoy the show.
My whole life I've been looking for the right one, and I could swear that I never was gonna find one. And then you came around, and you put it down, and that's when I knew that girl is bam bam. Cause baby, it's you.
It's you. That's right.
But
now it's Miss Jules. It's time for Fresh Off the Plate. Miss Jules,
that's right. That is right, everybody. Hello. It is your girl, Miss Jules, with your weekly dose of juice. Fresh off the plate. Anyway, 8 members of the Latin Kings are in trouble. So let me get this right. So 9 members of the Latin Kings got word that one of their prospective new recruits was gay, right? So apparently they follow some kind of macho code that's against gays but allows gay behavior, because that's the only way that it could be explained. So they kidnapped their prospective gay member, sodomized him, beat him until he fessed up about his sexual relationship with a grown man. Then they found another teen they suspected was gay, then tortured him too. then somehow, some way, they got the name of the adult they had sex with, lured him to the party. Then they abused him too, making the teens burn him with like cigarettes and Lord knows what else. Let me tell you, these 9 gang members were arraigned in a Bronx court, and they include Ildefonso Mendez, 23, Elmer Confresi, 23, David Rivera, 21, Stephen Caraballo, Dennis Paytar, Nelson Fallo, Brian Almonte, all 17, and Brian Cepeda, 16. All this happening right after it's brought to the headlines that there are high suicide rates in gay high school and college students. It's crazy to me that these men went aren't so far from the gays that they criticize. I mean, no man but a gay man places anything in another man's rectum for his own enjoyment and keeps searching for more men to do it to again. I mean, all I got to say is fresh meat, because they go straight to the pen. So, a special congratulations to the little girl from Spy Kids, Miss Alexa Vega, who married the lead from Napoleon Dynamite this weekend. And some Jersey Shore news. So, Jenny J-Wow Farley from the Jersey Shore is really taking her star power and using it, honey. Okay, she just signed a one-night contract to work on Spike TV's Total Impact for, I think, Thursday. And get this, it's only one night, and it's rumored that she's getting paid at least $15,000 per one night.
Wow.
Okay? And talking about striking while the iron's hot, she's also endorsing a new tanning lotion that's supposed to be hitting the stores later on this month. And it could be in the works that Sookie and her are going to be getting a new spinoff show, too. Ow! And for some more Jersey Shore news, so the Situation Smash set Flyer straight about his penis size, okay, saying, and it was, and I'm telling you, it's a quote, saying that it was big and fat, ew, TMI, and who needs to know this, okay? And anyway, has anybody seen the Situation Dancing with the Stars? It's the best Popeye impression I have ever seen. Good TV. Not only that, but last show he pow-pow'd Sticky. You know what a pow-pow is? That's something you do to a child if necessary due to bad behavior or something. Not for a grown woman in the club. And then to see him carrying her away? Priceless. I wonder if he would do that to any one of them dudes, you know, Paulie, Denny, or the other dude's head. Anyway, speaking of nakedness, okay, naked pics of Dallas Cowboys tight end, no point intended, Martellus Bennett have surfaced on the net, and all he has to say is that he's still single. Marquez. Now, anyway, it's proven that putting a hot laptop on your bare lap can now be dangerous to your health. You might get toasted skin syndrome. Yes, you heard me right, toasted skin syndrome. It's a splotchy, discolored patch due to an overheated laptop, and it gives the skin a sun-damaged look if exposed too long. And, ladies and gentlemen, that's Miss Jules, and that was fresh off the plate.
That's what it is. All right, and also be sure to catch Miss Jules on Twitter. She will be updating you with even more fresh off the plate information via Twitter, and you can find that by twitter.com/realhotandfresh. All right, I think we have a caller. Let me see. 845 area code. Keeping it real hot and fresh. Can you hear us? 845 area code. You're live, and you cannot hear us. But that is all right. All right, if you want to give us a comment, definitely call us back, 845 area code. And anybody else that want to give us a call back or give us a call to leave any comments on anything you heard tonight, 646-200-3136. So we have covered a lot of things so thus far. We're going to get back into the original topic, which is bullying. You know, bullying is a lethal weapon. I know it's weird to say, right?
I know, right?
It's a lethal weapon in today's society. You know, a lot of kids are killing themselves because they are just getting picked at so much. But, you know, another thing, too, that people need to realize is that just because, like, the kids who are getting picked at, even though some of them, a lot of them are killing themselves, but they may also kill the people who are teasing them. So, you know, it's a lot of death going on.
Columbine.
We're going to get back into this. And also, before the show ends, I have a few real statements from kids who have killed themselves from being bullied. I want to read those as well. So earlier in the show, we did have a caller that called in, and he was kind of basically his opinion was that, you know, even though that, you know, kids are killing themselves, you know, from being bullied, you know, is it really going to change anything? You know, he feels like even if the government steps in, that doesn't mean anything. You know, it's going to keep happening. People, you know, the kids are just going to keep killing themselves. And, you know, is it really a situation that's never going to be rectified. And Ms. Jules, I believe that you highly disagree with that.
Yeah, I do agree. I do disagree with people being bullied to the death. I don't think that's right at all.
Exactly. So let me just read a few of the comments. So basically, I found this online. It was very interesting, and it was sad. It says in England, this is actually in England, it says 220,000 kids ages 11 and 16 were driven to the brink in the last 18 months, all because of being victims of bullying made their lives hell. It says 2.4 million kids, which is 6 out of 10, have been bullied in the past 18 months. There is a Helping Hand campaign to stop bullying called Beat Bullying. They had pictures of 16 kids who killed themselves after bullies made their life hell. Now here is one of the situations. Carl Pert, 16 years old, who took an overdose of painkillers after being bullied at school since the age of four. Since the age of four now, he left a letter to his mother saying, Mom, I'm sorry I have done this on his own. Okay. In other words, he left a letter to his mom saying, Mom, I'm sorry I have done this. And then on it was Carl's handprint, which we adopted as the Helping Hand symbol. Two weeks later, Gemma Dimmick, 15, who was taunted at the same school, also killed herself with an overdose. In the same year, Leeds United fan Christopher O'Reilly, 15, he was 15 as well, made a noose with his teen scarf to kill himself over bullying. So there is three kids, 15, 15, and age 16, who killed themselves. I mean, and then they're taking pills because they were bullied at school.
Yeah, everything. The listing that I saw, you can go to bully.org. There's a website, and it's kind of like a memorial for all the bullied children, and I tell you, it's case after case after case, and it's hundreds of them with all the details, and it's so sad. Children are hanging themselves. They're taking pills. They're doing anything possible to escape them. Some of them, like 6-year-old Matthew Bibby, risked the busy rush hour road rather than wait for the cars to stop coming, and is killed by a car as he tries to escape his bullies. You know what I mean? Like, this is really traumatizing to these children, and it goes on to adulthood, and it's not just children. I mean, like, these kids have families. I mean, there's also a case where, actually, I can tell you, 12-year-old schoolboy Stephen Woodhall hanged himself with his brother's school tie rather than face bullying by the school bullies for another day. He must have been going through hell, his father Ken said. Later, 47-year-old Kenneth Woodhall also hanged himself. He never got over the hanging suicide 5 years earlier of his son. So it affects the whole entire family. And I'm just saying, something that big and something that traumatic has to be seen by someone. And I'm just saying, like, school officials, they should step in sometimes. You know, I think that what happens is that people think that, you know, oh, well, it's just bullying. Everybody goes through it. You know what I mean? Little kid will handle it, you know, and they try to let them handle it, and then eventually what happens is a tragedy. Instead of, you know, these school officials getting involved and saying, hey, you know, you can't do that to another child, you know, while I'm on watch. Instead, and I've seen this happen, I've seen children disregarded, you know what I mean, and they're being bullied right in front of their teacher, right in front of the principal, right in front of the school, beaten, you know, bloody.
Yeah, it's a mess. Actually, on Twitter, Chris Brown, you know, he was coming. I think he heard about, you know, the situation too, and he had left a message on Twitter saying that, you know, that bullying really has to stop because, you know, these young kids, they're our future, you know, and, you know, a lot of people are killing themselves. You know, if kids keep bullying each other, and then, you know, the grand scheme of things, the outcome is they're killing, you know, killing themselves because of what's happening, then what's happening to our future? You know, so kids really need to go to school to do what you're supposed to do in school, which is learn and educate and have a great time. And stop always trying to be the big, bad bully and always trying to intimidate, you know, somebody who you think is on your level or either beneath you. That's not cool.
But who,
you know?
I think they only get that from their parents. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they
do.
I think
they get that from their parents. You know, and I think that sometimes as parents applaud the wrong doggone things. You know, instead of rectifying, you know, that your son beat the crap out of somebody, you know what I mean? Instead of applauding that your son beat the crap out of somebody, you know, maybe, you know, depending on the beating, if there's blood drawn, you know, maybe you should say, hey, you know, do you know that you made that little boy bleed? You know what I mean? So they can understand that when you're hurting somebody, it's not right. You know, excessive force is real. I mean, like, it's part of our laws, and it shouldn't go above the heads of children either. Excessive force is real, and kids are dying all the time.
I know,
but it's not right. I don't think it's right. What do you think?
No, it's really serious whenever you hear about a kid like 4, 5, 10 years old, hanged themselves or either, took an overdose of pills or whatever because, people
were
kicking at them. That's really serious. I mean, you know what I'm saying? These are like young kids who know how to, I mean, like they would just pick that so much that they just can't take it anymore. They hung themselves. I mean, really think about this. You know, it's not just like, oh, okay, well, it happened over here. Yeah, okay, that happened. That's a sad story. But, hey, you can't stop it. No,
yeah.
I mean, we really need
to
think about what happened.
Yeah.
A kid 10 years old, 9 years old, they took overdose of pills because, somebody else's kid is just taunting them to death. I mean,
seriously.
I don't think we're taking responsibility.
Yeah, seriously.
Know?
Like, it's now that Eric Mohat, his parents, it's now that they're suing. They're suing their kid's school because they're saying that Eric Mohat, 17, was harassed so mercilessly in high school. Oh, wait, we got a caller.
We have a call. Hey, 310, you're keeping it real hot and fresh. Can you hear us?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes. Can you say your name?
This is Minnie from California.
Hi, Minnie.
How are you doing? What's your comment?
My comment is, there is a saying that Hillary Clinton once said, and it pertains to bully in my eyesight. It takes a village.
Mm-hmm.
Not only you're talking about the officials, the government, but it starts at home.
Mm-hmm.
Cooperation with neighborhoods, your neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
Then it goes into the school with each one, all the way filtering from the principal down to the custodian.
Mm-hmm.
So if everyone cooperate, if they see something like that, report it,
mm-hmm.
talk to the bully. Sometimes it might not be necessarily the parent that's making the kid bully. Maybe something else
is
happening outside the home that we don't know about that's causing this kid to pick on the weak.
Yeah.
So it takes everybody to come together and stop it. If you see it, stop it. Say something. If you think that it's too many people there, like after school, then have somebody else to come with you or call the police.
Exactly.
And they could break it up. And because somebody mentioned earlier about not only is the bully killing, but then the bullied is killing too, like Kawhi.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned about that, and that's true because you get, it's like an animal being cornered.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's cornered, he's going to get scared and he comes out sometime and then he kills.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the answer is everyone, the village, everyone participates, everyone nip it in the bud while they're young.
I think you're so right, Minnie.
Yeah, thank
you
so
much
for your comment.
Oh, you're welcome. And keep up the good job.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Have a great night. Everybody, so there you have it. You heard it first here. I mean, definitely it takes a village to raise a child. Stop the bullying. I mean, it's really hard to blame like a 10-year-old or a 9-year-old who is out bullying people if, they don't have any good example. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so if you're the parent and you're not a good example, you really need to change your ways. But unfortunately, we are down to the wire, so we're going to definitely go ahead and jump into the 10 Ways You Know You Ghetto to the end of the show. And I want to thank my co-host, Ms. Jules, for joining me tonight. We had a great show, Ms. Jules. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Z-Fly.
All right, here's your 10 ways you know you ghetto. Number 10, you know you ghetto if you ride around with spray paint graffiti on your car.
Mm-hmm.
Number 9, you know you ghetto if you're towing a trailer with a Toyota Corolla. Number 8, you know you ghetto if the local park is a good place to get shot up. That sounds like North Central Park, okay? Number 7, you know you ghetto if you're out clubbing with your girlfriend at 8.5 months pregnant. Okay, I mean, you trying to get it in before it's too late. You know you ghetto if you leave table scraps sitting on the counter for days. Nasty. Number 5, you know you ghetto if you have dirty empty pots sitting on the stove. On my aunt. Number four, why are you applying makeup while on the subway? You get off the train looking like Bozo the Clown. Number 3, you know you at a ghetto baby shower if people are drinking and dancing like it's a club. Number 2, you know you get up if you eat Michelina dinners for lunch at work every day. They're so nasty and they only taste $1, actually. And number 1, You know you had a ghetto Taco Bell when they ask you what kind of sauce, and you say, oh, no, girl, I got some in the dashboard. That is crazy. All right, y'all. Y'all know what it is. Keep it real hot and fresh. Tune in next week for more hot topics. This is your boy Z-Fi and your girl Miss Jules. We is out of here. Peace.
Peace.